Heavenly Father, we are thankful for having a God who loved us in such a way that he sent his one and his only Son to die for us, who gave everything for us, who has loved us in such an amazing way. And here we are, willing to love you back, knowing that you deserve so much more from us than we daily give you. But with that desire of knowing you more and understanding your will even more and surrendering to you even more, that's why we gather here this morning to worship you. That's why we take time of our Sunday this day to ponder on your word. So we pray, by the grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes and our hearts so that we can grow in our understanding of you? Would you talk to us through your word so that the things that need to be corrected are corrected, that those areas where we need to be encouraged, you give us those words of courage that we most desperately need, that where we need to learn something new, God, you give us that deep understanding, and that you transform our lives and not just inform our minds. We pray to you. I ask that you may fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that your word may be preached today with understanding, with truth, and with power. It's in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. A somber situation, you know, being trapped, not being able to go out, not being able to see families or co-workers, and your job is interrupted, having to find new ways on how to do your work, and, you know, little shadow or big shadow of death always spending above your head. I am not talking about 2020. I am actually referring to the Apostle Paul. He was going through a situation that might be in many points similar to the one that we are going through. You know, when the Apostle Paul was sent to jail, he was incarcerated. His liberty was completely taken away. He could not leave that house or that room where he was under arrest. He couldn't see his friends. He couldn't see his co-workers. He actually had to find new ways and to use the technology available to him in that day to communicate to the churches and to continue the ministry. His technology was pen and paper, the Roman roads, and the inspiration that God gave him, but he used it to the best of his ability to continue the gospel. And so he was in a situation very similar to what we are in. But here's a great difference from the Apostle Paul and from what you and I may experience. During that time in which most of us would probably be hopeless or feel very down, if you may use that word, because of the difficulties and the situation and everything that is surrounding us, the Apostle Paul writes the letter of Philippians, a letter that is called the letter or the epistle of joy. You know, in this epistle, more than 12 times in four short chapters, Paul repeats once and over again, I rejoice, rejoice with me. And again, I say, rejoice. I am grateful. You are my joy. I pray for your joy. How unexpected. It is unexpected. You know, when you see somebody going through a situation like that, your expectation is, you know, pray for me. I'm feeling down. I'm going through so much trouble. I have so many complaints. There's so many things going wrong around me. You expect a letter from a person who is going through such a hard situation to be a letter of maybe sadness or complaint. But here it is, a letter full of joy. And that's our topic for today. The unexpected joy that Paul had. And I have a question for us this morning, and it's, how can we have joy in the Lord during difficult and hopeless situations? How can we have joy in the Lord during difficult and hopeless situations? You see, it's my belief that our Lord wants us to have that joy. He wants us to rejoice in Him, and He wants us to, even in the most difficult and tough and sad situations, have a joy that exalts him, that brings a testimony to his people. So I would ask you to join me in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. If you have your Bibles there with you, please open them to Philippians chapter 1, and we'll be dwelling in the first chapter for a couple of minutes. This morning, I like to share with you this idea that to have joy in difficult situations and hopeless situations, we need to cultivate a Christ-centered life. We need to cultivate a Christ-centered life. Now, please go with me to Philippians chapter 1. I'll be reading from the ESV, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness. I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So the big question for us this morning is, how can we have that joy that Paul experienced? You know, somebody who is in the thick of it, but still glorifies the Lord. And I think this is an important question, and it's not a selfish question. It is a question that has to do with the glory of God and the progress of the gospel. In times like the times that we live in today, the people around us are taking notice on what our reaction as believers are like. How do we react? What do we say? How do we talk? We are all living through times of uncertainty, all living through times of difficulty, all living through times that normally bring about negative reactions on most people. And the world around us, it is watching with care. How do these believers in Jesus Christ react? So I believe that finding joy in unexpected situations is actually a matter not just of our well-being or our mental health. It's a matter also of testimony. Nothing makes a greatest impact in a non-believer than watching a believer go through a hard time and watching have the joy and the peace of the Lord that this world cannot understand and cannot give. So, if we are to have that joy in our lives, we need to cultivate it. And I want to borrow that idea of when you plant something, when you want to have a crop of any kind of fruit or vegetables, you work hard on it. You don't expect for it to simply appear overnight. You don't expect for fruits or vegetables to plant a seed, go to sleep, and then next day, magically, there's a husk of corn out there waiting for you to take it out and grill it on the barbecue. You know it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take intention from your side to work and to water and to take away the things that will damage that seed so that finally you have a fruit. So when we think about joy, and as we go through this chapter of Philippians, I want you to have that mental picture in your mind. Because sometimes we think about joy as a feeling. We think about joy as something that magically appears and magically disappears. But joy is much more than that. Joy is an attitude towards life, which I take daily, and I make an effort to see life in such a way that it produces the joy of God in me. And it takes time, it takes effort, it takes care to produce that. So how do we get unexpected joy? Well, my first point here is we get unexpected joy by cultivating a grateful life. We go to unexpected joy by cultivating a grateful life. What do I mean by that? Let's look again at some of the opening words of Paul in this chapter. Now, take a look at the first thing that Paul tells these believers. You know, he can choose many or any word for him to tell them, but he says, I thank my God. I thank my God. And this is not just, you know, a word that Paul is saying, a filler in or a nice way to start his letter. This is true about Paul. He thanks the Lord continuously. He loves the Lord and he has a life of thankfulness. Actually, later on in Philippians, you will see this idea and Paul telling them, thank God in all times. But he starts thanking the Lord. Now, you may ask yourself, what did Paul have to thank for? He was in jail. He was alone. There were people that were using his name to put him down. He actually had been betrayed by some others. The work that he had done so carefully and with so much hardship had come to a complete stop. The dreams that he had of going to Spain and continuing the work now seemed to be distant and impossible to accomplish. So what did Paul have to thank for? Well, one of the constant things that we do have and that we can thank God for continuously is Christ's work in others. That's a beautiful thing to ponder. And that's something that Paul always did. You know, even before he started thanking God for his life, his gifts, his situation, like the things he had, you know, Paul thanks in his remembrance of the people of God. And in every prayer he does for them, he has joy. He has joy. You know, often we focus so much in what we don't have in the present and so much in what is happening to us right now that we lose completely the focus of what God is doing and how thankful we should be for what he does in others' lives. Paul remembers these people and say, I remember them. I remember how, verse 5, they partnered in the gospel from the first day until now. And I thank God for that. Look around or look on your screen or just scroll through the names that you see on your Zoom participants tab and look at the names that are there beside you. Some of these people have been with you for years. You have been our family for years now. And what a joy it is to be with you and to see what the Lord is doing, how he is keeping you. I remember ELBC and I thank the Lord because the work keeps going there with you. I remember your families and I thank the Lord because I see your families walking in Christ. I remember what God has done through you in my family, in my personal life. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful family that you've given me that has been with us from the beginning of ministry until today. And life can be hard. And yes, we are limited right now. And yes, I miss meeting with real people and going to church and yes, it's so awful to go outside and seeing everybody with masks. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of that uncertainty, in the midst of all these awful things, there's one thing that remains constant. God is at work in the people that I love and I care for in my family in Christ. And I can thank the Lord for that. Paul even goes further on to remind us something very special about the work of God in others. He says, I am sure, verse 6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is great news, everyone. It is wonderful news. Even in the most difficult circumstances, even when there is absolutely hopelessness, we are sure that our God is a God who finishes what he begun. And that brings joy to me. When I am going through a difficult time, and I even see that in my own character, there are things that still need to be very hardly worked on by the Lord, I can say, thank you, God. You never stop. Even when I can go through dry patches in my relationship with God and maybe look away, I can say, thank you, Lord. Even through that, you will finish your work. Even when I see brothers or sisters that I care for that maybe seem to be walking away from the Lord, I can rely on this promise and say, you know what? If God started a work in them, even though right now it seems like all of that work was in vain, I trust, I believe, I choose to have faith in a God who always, always finishes what he started. What a great difference between our God and us, isn't that? How easily do we stop doing something? You know, we start exercising and most of us give up very easily. We start reading a book and when it gets hard or boring, we might leave it aside. We start some type of enterprise or hobby and we don't finish it, but not our God. From the beginning of creation, what our God has intended, he will do. And salvation is a show of that. Here he is, Genesis 1, he creates this wonderful earth and this wonderful creation with the desire that man will rule over it and man will represent him and he will bring blessing to everybody. And along comes sin. And it seems like it's the biggest interruption in the work of God ever. Instead of there being blessing, there is curse. Instead of there being prosperity, there is complete and utter loneliness and brokenness, and creation seems to be completely broken. Many of us would have said, oh, just leave it like that. Many of us would say, let me just start again somewhere new. Not our God. Our God finishes what he started. So he plans and he planned already and executes the most wonderful plan of redemption ever. Harnessing a people for his own. Building up foundations of sacrifice and foundations of faith. And bringing along his very own son to die for all of us. And now through his church, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to all the earth, to the point of salvation where we expect and we're waiting for, Jesus Christ, God-man, will come back to earth. And through this God-man, he will reign in all the earth and bring about the good news of God and the salvation of God. And a new earth and a new heavens will come where finally, the first intention of God will be fulfilled. It is not haphazardly that Revelation has so much imagery from Genesis. The tree of life is there. God is there walking along with his people. Why? God is bringing a close thing to his plan. God is bringing it to fruition. I want you to cultivate a grateful life, knowing that our God is at work in you and he will finish that work, not only in your life, but in the life of others. Make sure you have this verse in your heart, that you bring it along with you, maybe memorize it if you can. And when there are times of hopelessness, because of the work maybe in you or in the life of other people, use this as the sword of God. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in me, in you, in my son, in my daughter, in my cousin, he who began a good work in ELBC, he will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. If you have that, if you cultivate that, you will have joy. You will have joy in difficult times. Paul continues on to say in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And I just want you to see for one second with me how Paul's prayers are focused. You know, this is somebody who's daily praying and who's praying constantly. But look at his prayers, because if we are to cultivate a grateful life, we need to change a little bit the way we pray. We need to change the focus of our prayers. I don't know if this happens to you, but often I find myself praying a lot for myself and my kingdom and my little things in life. And I'm really surprised on how Paul focuses his prayers around others and around the gospel. You know, thanking for, they've been with me all the time. God is sustaining him. I want them to grow in the love of God. And please look at me at look with me at verse 9. Verse 9 in chapter 1 says this, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Wow. What a wonderful prayer, don't you think so? When was the last time that you prayed like that for someone? When was the last time you took Philippians 1:9 on your lap, and as you were thinking about that person, you asked the Lord, Lord, help him to grow in your love. Give him knowledge and give him discernment. Help him to take right decisions, to approve what is excellent. Help them to be pure and blameless for you, God. Make them full of the fruit of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ. What a way to pray. And it is an invitation for all of us to pray that way. You know, often we pray, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but we just focus on, you know, helping with his studies, give them health, bring them home safely. Amen. Those are great things to pray for. Those are things we need to continue to pray for. But watch how a life that has been cultivating gratefulness has this focus on what God is doing in people and the eternal things in life. Paul is able to have this joy in a very unexpected moment because he has that gratefulness. He thanks continuously the Lord for the things that he's doing in others. But not only that, like I'm saying now, Paul has a focused life, a life that is focused on the good news of Christ, a life that is focused on the good news of Christ. You can tell them in his prayers, like we just said, you can see how he is praying continuously for people, not just for the things in this life to go well, but also for the gospel of Christ to make a deep impact in that person. And as we continue, take a look at verse 12. This is how Paul sees his own situation. This is the lens through which Paul is looking at the difficulties of his life. Paul is saying the following. Verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That, I don't know, it's just surprising that somebody can look at a very awful situation, like being in jail, like being in prison, and instead of focusing on, brothers, I want you to know how difficult this is for me. I want you to know that, you know, life in prison is very hard. I want you to know that I miss everybody outside and that I feel sick of being in these four walls. Paul, instead of that, goes ahead and says, you know what? This awful situation that I'm going through has actually advanced the gospel. This difficult situation that I'm going through is actually giving God glory, and I rejoice in that. You know, Paul tells his brethren in the book of Philippians, he says, brothers, look, I am in prison, but actually this has worked well because there are people that are knowing the Lord. There are people that are knowing who he is. Actually, the whole imperial guard is knowing who Jesus is. I don't think that when Paul was going on the way to Damascus, ready to imprison all the believers, he ever imagined that one day he would have a testimony of God to the whole imperial guard. I don't even think that when Paul became a believer and he was working hard in Antioch before the Lord called him and Barnabas to bring the gospel to all of Asia, that he would ever imagine that he would be by the royal palace and that the royal guard would hear the gospel. But along comes the Lord in his sovereignty, in his grace, sometimes a little bit of his black humor, and he brings Paul to prison in order that those guards that would have never heard the gospel, those guards that would have never stepped in a synagogue, those guards that would never dare to talk to a Jew, they would hear the gospel. I don't know, it's just moving to think that often God does things in our lives, even the hard things, to do much greater things that we can never imagine. And we're so out of focus because we're so focused on ourselves that when bad things happen, we complain and we say, oh, my dreams are, you know, to a halt. What I wanted is not happening. I am suffering and it's me. You know, and that's why there's no joy in my life, because what I wanted and what I was focusing on, it's delayed. But when we have a focused life, when we cultivate a focused life in Christ, in the good news, then bad things happen. And you know what I can say? This awful situation that happened to me helped me to give witness to my neighbor. He came by to visit, and I was able to share what God has done with me and how he's sustaining me through this difficult time. And maybe that neighbor that you had never been able to talk to or that had never listened to the gospel carefully was impacted through what you are doing in a difficult time. What about the situation right now? COVID is something that none of us wish existed, and we all wish that it would be gone away right now. And nevertheless, here in Colombia, within our assembly, God has done some very beautiful things through this difficult situation. We've seen men who never participated in the Lord's Supper sending the videos for us to, you know, do our worship service. We've seen parents that were spending very little time with their children, spending more time with them in prayer and in Sunday school. We've actually been able to witness to family members who would have never put a foot on a church, never in their lives, but now, in their living room, there's a Sunday service every Sunday morning, and they're peeking through the kitchen or maybe sitting down by the living room, and some of them had even begun to assist regularly towards the service. It's an awful situation to us, but even if just a couple of families come to the Lord through all the hardship that we are enduring right now through COVID, it would be worth it. There would be great joy in heaven. Maybe if we only focus on, you know, the uncomfortable things that we're going through, we won't have joy. But if we focus on what God can do through a situation like this and how he's at work in others, there will be great joy. Continue reading with me and look at what Paul is also saying. Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that amazing? That Paul is saying, like, and now because of how I behave through these difficult times, other believers are encouraged to keep sharing the word of God. So again, if you cultivate a focused life in the good news of Jesus Christ, you will face situations not just selfishly, but knowing God can use this. God can use the way I respond to this situation to encourage other believers, to bring others to Jesus Christ, to advance the kingdom of God. Even if it is a personal attack, even if you're experiencing something that is personal to you, it can be turned with a focused life to the glory of the Lord. That's how Paul reacts in verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. But take a look at verse 17. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Paul even has people around them that are intentionally and willingly trying to harm him, trying to afflict him. But where is Paul's focus? Is it on his own life, on himself? Nope. He is focused on the gospel. So he says, you know what? Or in better words, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. Take a look at this. And in that I rejoice. Where does Paul joy come from? Where does that unexpected joy come from? It comes from a life that is focused on the good news. So he's able to see, even though they're trying to harm me, even though this seems to be something harmful for me, it is actually a great blessing from the Lord because the gospel is being proclaimed. When we're not trying to build our own kingdom, where we're not focused on our own words, but we are focused on the kingdom of God, joy can be easily found. When the focus of our life is our own work, our own kingdom, us being comfortable, or our own things, joy is easily lost. You want to know why? Because Jesus himself said, don't make treasures in this world. Everything in this world is corrupted. It will end. Thieves will come and take it. It will tarnish. It will finish completely. Make treasures on heaven where things are eternal, where they're not corrupted, where things will last forever. Can I ask you this morning, could you examine your heart and think with me for 1 second? Do you have a grateful life and do you have a focused life? Is thankfulness continuously in your mind and continuously in your prayers? Are you working for the kingdom of God or are you working for your own kingdom? Now, hear me out here. I do not mean that working for the kingdom of God means working full time for the Lord. That's not the only way we can work for the kingdom of God. I mean that within your studies, within your work, within whatever you're doing, the focus of what you're doing is not simply provision of this world and my own life, but that you understand that you study and you do the best in your studies, But you do it not just because you want a good grade or a good job or a good position. You do it for the glory of God, to be a testimony for Him, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You work and you work hard and you are the best at what you do in your work, and do it with joy because the Lord has placed you there, but not because you want just a better salary or just better things in this world. Those come along with, because you're focused on, I am here, God has placed me here, and it is my responsibility to do my best to be a witness for Christ, so that I can share with the people around me the good news that I have received and that they can partake of as well. That is a focused life. So I don't want to stretch this too long, but just think with me for a second, you know, what do hardships do? Hardships often reveal what is real and dear in our own hearts. You know, when things are going well and fine, we are all well and fine. There's no problem at all. It is when things get tough that we learn what we truly value, and we learn what we have been cultivating in our lives. So I know this has been a time of test and trial for all of us. And I do wonder, what have you seen in your life in the last 6 months? What has come out of your heart? Has there been a lot of despair or hopelessness or ungratefulness or bitterness? I'm not here to judge you, but I am here to say, maybe those are signs that the Lord wants you to examine your heart, where it is focused, and to make a change right now. I want to have the joy. And I want to be honest with you, I have seen a lot of things in the last 6 months in my life that I want to bring to the Lord. And I want to say, Lord, I need to work here in your grace, in your power, through your Holy Spirit in me, but I need to work here. Remember that idea that I gave you at the beginning of the message? Cultivate the idea of farming, that you have to work hard in order for these things to bring about fruit. Well, you're not going to become a thankful person. You're not going to become a focused person in the kingdom of God overnight. It's not just magically that it happens. It's not because you hear a sermon that it happens. It is because you are convinced that this is something that you desire and that you yearn for, and you work hard on it. You set yourself goals. You think about, okay, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to pray more about this. I'm going to make a list of the things that I'm thankful for in the Lord. I'm going to pray more spiritual things for the people around in my life. I'm going to bring about and look verses in the Bible where somebody's praying for other people, and I'm going to pray those things for the people that I have in my life. I am going to focus on the Lord, and I'm going to pray hard because my heart is so unfocused right now, and I need it to come back, and I'm going to pray for this and spend time in the Word and in prayer until I can see that the Lord is bringing the fruit that He wants in my life. So as we continue through uncertain times and the unexpected, and I think that's something that 2020 has really taught all of us. It's very unexpected. We don't know what to expect next. There's one thing that will be great to surprise us, and is joy. I hope that as uncertain times come and difficult times come, you are surprised by the joy of the Lord in your heart as you cultivate these things in you. Thank you for listening. May we close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. So many things to be thankful for, God, this morning. I especially thank you for the work that you're doing in my friends and family at Edmunds Lane. Thank you for keeping them and encouraging them through these difficult times. Thank you for allowing them to use technology so they continue to gather, to hear the word of God, and to encourage one another. Thank you for keeping these families, and thank you for all the families that have joined this church in the last years. I thank you for having so many faces that I don't recognize right away. And that gives me joy because that means that you are growing your church. Lord, I pray for Edmunds Lane, for each and every one of my friends there. I pray that you encourage them. I pray that you give them a life and a heart that is focused on Christ. Help them to understand your love every day more and more. Help them to love you, God, to love you dearly, to love you more than anything in this world. Help them to be willing and able to give everything and anything, even their own lives, for your sake and for your gospel. Help them to realize how precious you are and how beautiful your work is and how much you are at work around the world. I pray for those going through tough times, through difficult moments in their lives, whether they are economically or emotional, God, hold them close to you. Help them, remind them, God, that you are with them, that you started a work in them, and you will finish them. God, keep my dear brothers and sisters in you, that none of them ever walks away, but on the contrary, that all of them always grow up in you. We love them very much, and we're thankful for their love and care for us throughout these years. Help us here, all of my family, to continue to work for you and to continue to advance the gospel for your glory. May you be given all the glory and honor that you deserve from our lives and our words and our lips and our hearts and our attitudes. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.